8816. Plenty of suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
That would be the Hawthorne Racecourse and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering app. Derby Day right around the corner, May 6, 2023. Even got a local horse, two Phils, running in the Derby. So get your app downloaded, get you ready to go. And you can bet the Derby or sports at the PointsBet Sportsbook. We say good morning to Snorley.
Good morning, boys. Betting the horses, Cappy. Good luck today on all the big races.
I will be definitely betting horses and baseball this afternoon.
Good luck on the ponies, Kaplan. I want to ask about the big news out of the NFL yesterday. Jalen Hurts became the highest paid player in the history of the National Football League on a year-to-year basis. He signed a record five-year, $255 million extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. Hurts has often been pointed to as the blueprint for Justin Fields, but if Fields lives up to that, if he starts taking the steps to look like Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts' money is going to be coming as well, and Fields could be resetting the market in the next two off seasons, regardless of how successful the Bears are. So shot or no shot, the Hurts contract is proof that the Bears need to be urgent in building a contender.
No shot. They still have to do it the right way. They still do. It's going to take time. Their defensive line is basically not been... They haven't done anything there except the one rotation guy they got. Yes, it's going to take time. So, no, you don't overreact because someone else did something.
So, it's interesting how he asked the question. Mm-hmm. So, maybe you could help me with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he talked about the urgency to win. Does that necessarily mean yesterday? Or can you still do it incrementally the way the Bears are doing it? The urgency saying, hey, we got to get this right because Jalen Hurts is going to be in the conference for 4 or 5 years. Do you understand the question? Do you understand where I'm going?
Yes.
He says urgent, but does that mean you got to win tomorrow?
No.
That's
no.
The way he said the question. That's why I'm just trying to figure out, like, urgency could also be the way Poles is still doing it. You know, again, taking his time or to be in a position where you are a perennial winner. Urgent, does that urgent mean, Shade, next year?
Not necessarily next year, but the point is, like, you see the guys who get these extensions, and you see Hurts went to a Super Bowl, yeah. And now he's getting the extension. Like, Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl. Herbert hasn't won anything, but at least they've made the playoffs. He's shown he can be that guy.
Right.
The worry for me is if Fields shows he can be that guy and the team is still no good, then you're committing this huge extension, and he's going to be commanding that level of the salary cap on a team that's not ready to go. That's why I think you have to be kind of urgent in building the team, because if Fields is that guy, you're going to have to pay him.
No,
and you want the other things to be in place.
I understand your point, Shay, but Steve Young, we played it last year. Mm-hmm. I interviewed him on TV.
Yeah.
And he said, you will know in the building and you won't be able to tell in game because the team is so bad. He said when they're in their virtual reality stuff and they're in their meetings, they'll know if the ball went to the right area, maybe the guy wasn't open, the decision-making was right, they'll know. So, no, you do not, no right. Sense of urgency beyond the obvious.
Okay, I'll say no shot in that if you're the Chicago Bears, you have to do what's best for business for your team. Because I know the whole thing with Poles is we're going to take the North and never give it back. But ultimately, it's about being a perennial winner and a Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just answer the question this way. It's a no shot because you got to take care of your own business, no matter what Philly or anyone else is doing.
Correct.
I'll put it that way.
Completely agree. And I have never felt better about the way the Bears are going about their business than I do today.
See, this is why I always need help sometimes. Good question, but sometimes I need to be untangled for me
right.
To get a good answer.
Yeah.
And by the way, will you talk to Steve Young this fall, too, on TV?
I don't work on TV anymore.
Will you talk to Steve Young this fall on TV?
On this show.
YouTube.
That's a good idea, Snorling.
Okay. I'm just trying to, I know that Daniel Greenberg's standing by, hands on the keyboards, waiting for you to...
Did he talk to Steve Young?
No, just like, no, your new TV gig. That's what he's waiting to report.
Yeah, there's no TV gig.
Okay, people are waiting.
I'm enjoying my afternoons free.
I was trying to trap you into letting me know what your plans are this fall.
Yeah.
Without the Bears. Without doing a Bears pre or post game show.
It's my basement. That's what it's called.
That's got to be enjoyable, huh?
That's it.
All right, Shay.
All right, your daily dose of swing tackle talk here on Cap'n Jay Hood. Rumors.
Nobody cares about the swing tackle. Hi!
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 Thanks, Mike.
Hi!
Rumors continue to go around about the Bears picking offensive line in the draft, and more rumors are swirling that a potential casualty of that, of Bull selecting his own offensive lineman, could be Tevin Jenkins. Shot or no shot, the Bears will look to trade Jenkins this offseason.
I sent you guys the tweet from a guy who I think is super tapped in. It's Jeff Hughes over at the Bears blog. Like, that guy was way ahead of all of us on the coaching search and the GM search, all of it.
Interesting.
And I sent it to you guys, and here's what he wrote. I've never quite seen a situation like Jenkins, but I'm confident the team is not committed to him in any long-term way. What? He's your most talented lineman. But maybe he doesn't have the makeup they desire. That's the question.
If you're a bad guy, we just talked about like douches, right, in our last segment. If he's a bad guy, if he's just a difficult guy to work with in the locker room but yet does his job, I mean, don't you think you want to keep him on the team? If he's nasty but yet he can get the job done on the field, there's a push and pull of it all, isn't it? If he's talented, and we would say he's the most talented offensive lineman the Bears have.
Okay, and what if...
He's a bad guy, though.
What if... Boy, it got, like, oh, my God, stuff gets real. Like, you've got to man up and play through a stinger or a this or a that. He ain't the guy.
Okay.
Wildly talented. Like, there are those guys. You've seen them. I've coached them.
Yep.
Where, wow... We're up 12. This guy is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We're down 4 on the road with 2 minutes to go, and you can't find this SOB.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd's going nuts. He's getting, but you can't find him. Yeah. I don't want to coach guys like that because they don't have a winning mentality. Mm. That's what I love about Dansby Swanson. He's a winner.
All right, Shay, before he is able to infiltrate this show with more Cubs talk.
That was scary for a moment. To go back to
great
quarterback.
Play in the hole, by the way, at short. Great play. Great play in the hole at short yesterday.
Did I tell you about wisdom?
What did I say about wisdom?
You called him an all-star.
He's going to be an all-star.
I love it.
And he will lead the team in home runs.
Tied for the major league lead in home runs. Take that.
Shay.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right, to go back to quarterback contracts for a moment, with Hurts resetting the market and becoming the NFL's highest paid player and the expectation that Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow will both reset the market again this offseason, Patrick Mahomes is now the 6th highest paid quarterback in the NFL by total cash.
Oh, no.
Shot or no shot? The Mahomes contract has become the biggest discount in the NFL.
It's in a team photo as far as quarterbacks, that is for sure. That's got to be a restructuring at some point. Or if Mahomes is a good Joe, he says, okay, we need some extra players here. You can defer my cash to later. Yeah. And by the way, this Jalen Hurts deal, Shay, is a team-friendly deal. I know not on the surface you say that can't be the case. Look at year by year what Hurts is getting in guaranteed money. I mean, there's a big balloon payment at the end, but it's friendly enough in the first couple of years where if the Eagles need something, they can get something. What do you think of the answer? So that is a shot when it comes to Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mahomes' contract right now. His cap hit in 2022 was only $35 million.
Only.
Right. But for quarterback, crazy.
Yeah.
It goes to 39, then it goes to 46, 48, 44, 62. Yeah. It keeps going down. He took a massive, massive long-term deal that is a huge discount. Shay is exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
But he also says, I want to keep winning. How much is enough? and he's making a fortune in endorsements.
Sure.
He's good.
So I would say that's a shot.
Bastard could have been a bear.
Well, I mean, who knew? Who knew, right? In hindsight, yeah, absolutely.
Andy Reid did.
But then, as a bear cap, he would just be a dope with a B on his hat.
He would.
He would be. Just some
Get
guy.
Get this guy out of here. He's terrible.
He's reckless. He does loop-de-loops out there. Get him out of there. Can he just stay in the pocket? That's what it would be.
Right.
No offensive line, no weapons. He'd just be a goof. That's what he would be. But he would be.
That's so funny.
What's true? It's true.
Just to really hammer this point home, too, in 2026, Daniel Jones, Giants quarterback, who had, I think, 18 touchdowns last season, will have a $56.5 million cap hit. Patrick Mahomes is signed through 2031. In what year will Patrick Mahomes have a $56.5 million cap hit?
Is that the fifth year?
For Daniel Jones, yeah. Okay. It's the final year of his deal.
Okay.
What year? So that's 2026. You have Mahomes through 2031. What year does he get to $56.5 million?
I don't know. What year is it?
He doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't happen.
He never gets there.
He never gets there. That's fair to say. That's fair to say.
Wow. He's everything you dream of in a franchise player. Great dude in the room.
Mahomes, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great dude in the room.
Yep.
He's got pro genes as you develop him. His dad was a Major League Baseball player. He understands what it means to be a professional. He does.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed to his community. He just make the contract work so we can keep some really good players. And he wins titles.
And at the time, the way this organization was run, he'd just be some goof.
Now, today, you drop him in with Poles and Kevin Warren. You're like, they got a guy.
Yes, be better.
Correct.
We're going to take care of you. We know that you're talented, Patrick. You throw from underneath, three quarters, over the top. You're talented with the football. You can do anything. We'll take care of you. Previous regime, clown.
By the way, sidebar, may I approach? For a second.
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
312-6 million for the great Howard Aiken.
Sign my ball. Very, very, very quickly, barrister, please.
Yes. Antonio Brown. Trump card. Game over. Mic drop. See you tomorrow. Shay.
Oh, show's over. Okay.
That's shot or no shot, fellas.
Greeny is coming up next. I guess the show's over. Coming up, we go around the National Football League. Albert Breer at 8:35. All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Still to come, Albert Breer will be with us as we talk to Albert about all the things around the NFL. But first, let's go around the NFL ourselves with news and notes. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, let's start with this. The Ravens reportedly, Ian Rappaport was on with Pat McAfee yesterday, and he offered that the Ravens have reportedly submitted an offer to Lamar Jackson that included $200 million fully guaranteed. There was also a shorter-term offer that was $135 million fully guaranteed.
Okay, so again, my opinion has not changed with this. Like, find somewhere in the middle and then get back at it. If you're Lamar Jackson, what do you think that you're going to get $300 million? Again, the resume speaks for itself. I don't care what team it is. What I would do is sit down with Lamar's mom, who's got it going on. I'd talk to Lamar or Lamar's, you know, as a guy across the table and say, why were you not at the playoff game? We understand that there was an injury that you could not overcome, but what happened to the support of the team? Could you explain that? I need to know what's in between his ears first. Where are you with this?
So he played.
If he doesn't want to beat the Ravens, I mean, if he wants to go to a different team,
right.
I'd ask, like, what's going on with you?
So when did we start 17 games, Shay?
The year before last.
Okay, so 21. So he missed five games that year. He missed five games this year.
Yep.
He missed one game each of the two preceding years. And then his rookie year, he only started seven games. So not a big deal there. So it's the last 2 years that have some concern for you.
Yeah.
He's had a knee issue. Completion percentage this past year was down to 62.3. So you're right, 100% right, that if you're sitting there and you're Jonathan Hood, the GM, you're like, dude, we love you, we want you to be here, but I got some issues here. Yeah. A, where were you? Why did you check out on us during the playoffs? You got to be all in with your brethren in there. Leave the contract stuff to the side. That's one. Two, hire the best agent. Here's a list of five of them. There's Tom Condon. There's Drew Rosenhaus. There's Mark Bartles. Whoever it is, Clutch Sports just did Hertz deal.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one of them and let me deal with them. And let's get this done. And if you don't want to be here, tell me right now, before the draft. Period. That's it.
Yeah.
The nonsense has got to stop.
It makes me think that there will be a reconciliation. And I think because OBJ is there. So I feel like something's going to happen in which he will return to the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. But this has just been drawn out way too long. It really has been. Give me the dollar amount again, Shay.
It was $200 million guaranteed and then a shorter term offer of $135 million guaranteed.
Come on, man.
Right.
Come on. Yes, your MVP is on your resume. But again, you are injured and you seemingly ghosted the team at the playoff game against Cincinnati. So that's, I think, is a good number for Lamar Jackson.
So in 2021, Jonathan, he had 16 touchdowns. He missed five games.
Yeah.
And 13 interceptions. Not a great ratio.
Nope.
So you think, all right, 22, going to be a free agent. We got to get this guy right. He misses five games again. His completion percentage drops from his MVP season of 66 all the way down to 62, 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, there's some concern there for me. The running style with a knee injury, it's unsustainable.
All right, Shay, what else?
The Houston Texans are listening to offers to trade down from the number two pick in the draft. Multiple teams have approached them. It sounds like there's a real chance the Houston Texans don't pick at two and don't take a quarterback. This would be, like, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the most hilariously poor decisions we've seen in recent memory.
I just think it's pretty obvious that they need a quarterback. I think it's pretty obvious. And if I'm casting aspersions on Davis Mills, I am. It's where it starts in this league, Cap. It's where it starts. You've got to find a young quarterback. But again, we cannot accentuate the point more that this quarterback class, many teams are not knocked out by. It's just not. Like, during this time, you and I would be raving about quarterback X, quarterback Y.
Correct.
We'd be like, oh my God, wait until he gets into the league. Look at the intangibles. Look at the size. Look at the... We're not saying that about any of these guys. Now, we could be wrong when the season starts where a quarterback fits into a system of one of these teams in the top 10, top 20 in the first round of the draft, but we're not knocked out by it. So if the Texans move on and they don't get a quarterback, and again, another team that needs everything, by the way, the Texans, for the most part, they need a lot.
They need almost everything. They have their left tackle. They just extended in Laremy Tunsil, who's a beast.
But it starts with the quarterback, unless you're just not enamored with any of them.
Okay, so do you remember what Ryan Poles said to you and I? I think it was when we were in Indy. It could have been when he was on the air with us here.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan said, I cannot draft based on need if that isn't the best player on the board, because if I look up and go, boy, I really need that quarterback, I'm going to roll the dice. I like him, but I don't love him. I should have taken the cornerback. He's an all-pro 3 years later. He's the best player in the league. He said, you got to take the best guy on the board. And if you don't have conviction on the player, you cannot take him. Period. And so if you're D'Amico Ryans, armed with a 6-year deal, and it sounds like he is the guy they are married to now going forward, Caserio just spoke again. That's our guy. I know we've had some Cully and Smith. No, that's the guy. Well, if he looks and he's your defensive guy and he says, Jonathan, that guy right there, Tyree Wilson or Will Anderson, that's a Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud, he's okay. I like him. I'm not convinced. That's a Hall of Famer I can build with. That's my Nick Bosa. Take him.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue what you're saying in that philosophy. I guess one way to look at it is, where are the Texans going? And if they're going to run back Davis Mills, they can. But you got to build on both sides of the line the same way like the Bears.
All you have to do is look at what Ryan Poles did at number one.
Yeah.
He has a question mark at quarterback here. We think Justin's the guy. We hope Justin's the guy. He looked and he went, no, none of these guys wow me. If Joe Burrow was in this draft, trust me, they'd be picking him at one. And they would have traded Justin.
Shay, the other side to this Texans thing is Nick Caserio staying with the Texans, or is he leaving after the draft?
He just denied it yesterday. He said, I'm not going anywhere.
There's also, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I better have the best ability to compartmentalize ever. Because if I just watch David Culley sign a four-year deal and get bombed, and then Lovie Smith sign a four-year deal and get bombed, and you're setting up the tank round two so you can get Drake May or Caleb Williams as your quarterback, I'm a little concerned I'm getting bombed. If I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm a little concerned about this. It's hard for me not to look at the past.
Well, Cap says everything's okay. It's a new regime. It's a new day in Houston, Texas. That's what Cap tells us. All I know is I'd be concerned if I'm Ryans.
He's got the bag secured.
Oh, they all have the bag secured.
So does David Culley. He's just being paid to sit on the couch.
Yeah, but
now,
David Culley's 68 years old. D'Amico Ryans is... like, this is a big-time hire, and he spurned Denver. Denver tried to hire him before they gave Sean Payton the bag.
And the former player thing. There's a lot
going on anywhere here
that Lovie and David Culley didn't have.
He's not going anywhere.
If we're going to be bad again, I'm just saying, there would be. I can't imagine there's not a voice in the back of his head.
A brother in that job, it's a concern.
How much do you think they paid him in Houston? And again, I know they paid the other guys, too.
You got the other who?
Huh?
The other who?
The other guys.
Well, who?
They gave David Culley $22 million.
And Lovie.
And Brother Smith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got a 6-year deal for 40. No, that was when he was playing. He made a lot of money as a player. I had no idea he made that kind of money. Yeah, so one of his deals was $50 million.
And well deserved. He's a very good player.
Very good player. Mm-hmm. And that was he picked that job over the others. Mm-hmm. He's really good. He's not going anywhere.
I don't know if we have a figure on the contract, but I do have a buy or sell for you both. This was something Adam Schefter floated yesterday with the rumor that the Texans could trade out of number two. Schefter floated it as a possibility. Only one quarterback will get taken in the first three picks. Buy or sell.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Bryce Young, number one overall, and then no quarterback after that until four when the Colts are up.
That's a definite shot unless somebody's in love with a QB and they trade up. Arizona's not taking one of three.
Nope.
And if Houston, as some speculate, D'Amico Ryans is saying, nope, I want Tyree Wilson or Will Anderson, then, yeah, that's a definite shot.
I could see that philosophy, which you just laid out there, yeah, when I think about it. If the Texans are not going to go quarterback, then I think it will go that way.
And the more... see if you co-sign this. Hmm. The more I watch this stuff unfold, and we'll find out next Thursday night when it happens, Ryan Poles was a genius trading the pick when he did. Because it seems like the shine is off the quarterback class as time goes on. Yeah, I like him. Not in love with it. Okay, he wasn't all in on Bryce Young. He's small.
Yep.
I'm going to give Justin a chance here. He was brilliant. He would not have gotten as much as he got if he hadn't traded the pick March 10th.
That's fair.
Brilliant move.
Fair to say.
You know who's sneaking back up the boards now based on the odds? Watch out for Will Levis. He's past C.J. Stroud in the quarterback odds.
That's ridiculous.
Will Levis making his way back up.
Mr. Mayo in your coffee, Will Levis.
And eating your bananas without removing the peel. That's disgusting.
You can't play for me. You're out. Why? Because you eat bananas weird. Out.
Pre-game meal. Do we have any mayo?
Mayo? We're having a pre-game breakfast here.
It's for my coffee.
What?
Get out of here. You're too weird. Out.
You, sir, are out of your mind.
Albert Breer will join us coming up next to talk more about the Bears in the NFL. Cap and Jay Hood, we're on ESPN 1000 and also on 100.3 FM HD2.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox will play a straight doubleheader today. No game yesterday because it was rained and snowed out. The Sox will take on the Phillies. First game's at 2:30 with the pregame with Connor McKnight right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. In game one at 3 and game two around 6 o'clock. It'll be Lance Lynn in game one, the starter for the Sox. Game two will be Lucas Giolito. The Cubs continued their winning ways last night. A 10-1 victory over the A's. The Cubs have improved to 9-6 on the season. Plus 25 the run differential. That's fourth best in Major League Baseball. Draymond Green ejected yesterday in the game against the Sacramento Kings. The Golden State Warriors lose 114-106 in that contest. And the other game that took place yesterday in the doubleheader was Philadelphia over Brooklyn by the score of 96-84. Jay Moore.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. They've beaten the traffic commute, so you don't have to. So take your time and get some good with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer joins us every Tuesday at 8:35 right here on ESPN 1000, the home of Chicago Bears. Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com joins us on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Good morning, Albert.
Hey, Hoodie. How you doing?
We're doing fine, thank you. There's still question marks about movement for the Bears in the first round. I already did it once with Carolina. What's the possibility that the Bears move down from 9 to garner more picks for next year?
Yeah, I mean, they're in an interesting spot. You know, I look at, like, their position right now, and, you know, like, they're sort of right at the edge of that cliff where I think the draft class kind of falls off. And, you know, what I mean by that is I think just having made calls the last couple of weeks, you got three defensive players and Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, and Jalen Carter, the two offensive linemen and Skoronski and Paris Johnson, the two corners in Gonzalez and Witherspoon, and then whichever quarterbacks you want to throw in that mix. And then after that, like if you're looking for a non-quarterback, there's a little bit of a drop-off. And so the question would be then, like, how willing are you to fall beneath that cliff if you're Ryan Poles? And I think it would take a pretty good haul for him to be willing to do that, especially when you could have real offensive line help sitting there for you in either Skoronski or Paris Johnson. So I think it's something that Ryan Poles would certainly be open to. But again, like the position that they're in right now puts them right on that edge. And, you know, I actually wasn't aware of the rumor until I just got on the air here. And I would say, like, the one thing that you would be looking at there is if Jalen Carter starts sliding, you know, potentially maybe somebody looks to get up in front of Philly. I could understand where somebody would try to do that.
So, Albert, great to talk to you again. Talk me through this because I look at what they've done or not done. And Jonathan and I have talked a lot about this. Their defensive line is truly awful. Awful. They have nobody that can get to the quarterback, and they can't stop the run. And if you can't stop the run, you can't win. So I truly believe that the Bears are looking at 2024. Give me another draft class. Give me another free agent class. And then we could start to turn this thing north. I thought Ryan was very, very judicious in his free agent moves. So I think he's looking, give me really solid package. You can come get 9 if you want, and I'm going to get a good player that either plays D-line or offensive line. But 23, they're not trying to win. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think we talked about this a bunch, right? Like, this is sort of a slow build, and last year was the true reset. And they took on all that dead cap last year. And, you know, like taking on that dead cap means you're basically taking the year and saying, we're resetting everything. And this is the year that you hope you start to make progress towards the end goal. And that progress doesn't happen in a year when you've sort of stripped the roster down. So I'd agree. Like, I think, you know, this year's about, you know, getting good young players in the roster wherever you can get them. And I know we're focused on trying to, you know, get answers on Justin Fields and everything else, but it's going to take time to build the roster up. And, you know, I still think they're in a position where, yeah, it'd be nice to get another, you know, bodyguard in front of Justin. But, you know, really, you know, you have to service the entire roster at this point of the building process. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, you know, and if a Jalen Carter falls to them, you have to consider it. You know, I think you have to consider his talent. You also have to consider whether or not you've got the infrastructure to get the most out of a guy like that yet. You know, and a lot of that's going to boil down to leadership. And why a lot of people assume the Eagles would look at a guy like that is because they've got Jordan Davis. They've got N'Kobe Dean, guys that Jordan Davis knows, and a veteran locker room that would be able to absorb somebody like him.
So is it cold, lukewarm, or hot, the quarterback class? It feels lukewarm to me.
Lukewarm, I think, is the right. Yeah, I would say, Huddy, lukewarm is probably the right word for it. I mean, I still think, and I've said this to you guys since January, like, if Caleb Williams and Drake May were in this class, they'd probably be 1-2. You know, Bryce Young would be 3. So I think there are some teams that have looked at that and said, like, would we be better off waiting a year? And you have to have the job security to do that. But, you know, like, there is that feeling. You know, and then I think, you know, like, I think a lot of us might have made a mistake is like kind of clumping the four guys together when I think it's a little more complicated than that. I think Bryce is going first. You know, I think that's close to set in stone now. I think CJ goes somewhere in the top five. And then I think after that, like, Levis could really slide. I think Richardson could slide. You know, and then I think Hooker could go in front of maybe Levis, you know, so I think Hooker's a little closer to the bottom two of the top four that people realized in the beginning. I think Levis is a real wild card and could really fall. And Richardson's sort of like kind of like how willing you are to roll the dice on somebody who's uber talented but hasn't played a lot of football, has some injury history, and has a long way to go as far as his maturation as a quarterback.
If you look at the offensive line, I like the kid out of Tennessee. Now, again, I'm not an offensive line guru because I never played the position. But I bring up the tape on my computer and I look. That guy just looks to me like he is a cornerstone right tackle, Lane Johnson-style guy. I take him over the others. What would you do?
Yep. See, that's what's interesting about it is it becomes like an argument of positional value. Like, I think Skoronski kind of fits into this, too. Where, like, Skoronski coming into this, I really thought, like, okay, like, a few teams are going to see him as a guard, you know, but most teams will probably keep him at left tackle. And the opposite has happened. You know, as I've talked to teams, almost everyone sees him as a guard, you know. So, you know, like, that then the question becomes, like, do you value a guard in the top 10? And with Darnell Wright, great player, do you value a right tackle in the first half of the first round, you know? And if you're going to take a guard or a right tackle in the first half of the first round, well, that guy damn well better be Zach Martin at guard or Lane Johnson at right tackle. And now you're talking about sort of a narrow path to making that a value pick, if that makes sense, you know? So it's, you know, I think a lot of that comes down again to positional value and how you look at those guys. And, you know, if you are going to take a guard or a right tackle that high, they better be great, great players. You know, you take a left tackle that high, that's conventional. If, you know, you take a guard or a right tackle, it's almost like drafting a guy to be your number two receiver that high. He better be damn good at the job.
In terms of looking at the Bears wide receiver room, there's been a lot of thought around these parts where, oh my God, DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney, we got a top 10 wide receiver room. I don't see it that way. Do you see there's any chance that they trade Darnell Mooney on draft night because he wants $15, $16 million a year based on his productivity? I feel like I can go find another guy like that, a 5'10", good player.
Well,
I can't give you that kind of money.
I'm like, you know, he's going into a contract year, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I'll look it up.
Okay, so if this is his fourth year, I could see that, especially like on the premise that you're building for 24. You know, if you think the guy is going to be asking for too much, and if you're not willing to pay him 15 or 16 million, then you're not going to be willing to tag him, right? So then it becomes, is he going to be on your roster in 24? And that's where I think you start to get in that argument, and maybe you can take advantage of the fact that a lot of teams are looking for sort of their own version of Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle, you know, the real fast guy who can dictate coverage, that sort of thing. And Mooney has some of that. Like, I don't know if, you know, I wouldn't put him in the category with the two guys that I mentioned, but he does have, like, the speed element, you know? So yeah, I mean, I think if it's someone that you've kind of come to a stalemate with when it comes to, you know, a contract negotiation, I certainly think that's one way you could creatively build up your draft pick capital. Now, you know, we got to talk about what you're talking about getting back for him, but if it's like a second round pick, I could see them considering that.
Yeah, he's absolutely a UFA after this season.
Right. So, like, you know, again, like, now you're eligible to talk contract with them. And if you think that thing is going to the place where, A, you're not going to be in a place to get a deal done, and B, you're not going to be willing to tag him in 24, and you don't think he'd be of value as a trade chip with a tag attached to him, then, you know, I think it's incumbent on you, especially when you're considering this, like, kind of another one of those building years, to at least look around a little bit, with the caveat being that you're going to have to replace him on the roster, because, again, this is a big evaluation year when it comes to Justin Fields.
Albert, what's in your phone as we get closer to the draft? Something that you haven't told anyone else that you find interesting?
Yeah, I think I said the Levis thing, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's a big one.
It is.
You know, I honestly, guys, I can't find anybody who loves him. Like, and I know that sounds harsh. You know, the comp I've gotten for him is Carson Wentz. I'm just like Richardson. Like, I've talked to some teams, and, you know, the teams that don't need quarterbacks, to be a little more honest with you, that think he's the best quarterback in the draft, and that they would take him because of the high end potential there and the chance that maybe someday you're going to get him in a position where he's going to be competing. He's going to be athletically able to compete with a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes or a Joe Burrow, right? I can't find those people on Levis. You know, like, I just, his interviews haven't been great. The pre-draft process hasn't been great. He didn't throw it great at the combine. I just think, like, he's sort of that one where if we're sitting there on draft night and someone's really sliding, and, you know, like, the whole talk of the back end of the draft after, like, 10, 11 p.m. is one guy, it might wind up being Will Levis.
Albert, have a great rest of your day, man. We appreciate you, and we're looking forward to seeing what happens next Thursday night.
All right, thanks, guys. And if you heard that, like, background noise there, that was my six-year-old who seemed to be talking every minute that I started answering one of your questions.
No, we so love ambiance.
We love that.
Yeah, he's my guest. He's my my guest guest. Yeah, I guess.
We love it. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer, the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Well, here's one thing, my friend. I mean, Albert Breer is as plugged in as anybody else in the National Football League. I think it's pretty clear that all the college football I watched this season, I enjoyed it. You know how I love my college football Saturdays. But when I watched the quarterbacks, nothing resonated with me as I sat in the hood cave for months and thought, my God, when that quarterback's playing on Sundays, he's going to light it up. Nobody loves Will Levis. Nobody likes the weirdo, Cap.
How about that?
He could be your friend, but nobody loves the weirdo. Nobody loves the mayo and the coffee guy. The whole banana guy.
What if he slides and he's sitting there like Aaron Rodgers at like 23?
What? Cap, I think he will. Give me that big game he played at Kentucky.
He didn't play well in those. And the other question is, Peter King wrote this. He's talked to people in the league that go, we don't understand how people have Jackson Smith and Jigba number one at the position. He couldn't get on the field last year. Wildly talented.
This is why the draft should be pretty unpredictable this upcoming season. The zigzagging up and down the first round.
It takes one to fall in love with you. There could be someone we go, you took who at six? Maybe it's the wide receiver. Maybe it's Njigba, but maybe he slides because of injury concern.
The average Bears fan, I think, understands now, because they think you're a first time for forever. You got the number one pick. No, there is no number one pick in this draft, Cap. There's eventually going to be. But no one that says head and shoulders above everyone else.
That's why Poles was a genius trading that thing.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. The Cubbies are coming. Tra-la, tra-la. On the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Captain J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So to come, some thoughts from our teammate here at ESPN 1000, Tom Thayer, color analyst for the Chicago Bears. He had some thoughts about where the Bears should go with their first pick in the draft. We'll get to that coming up at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000.
I love Tom Thayer.
The Cubbies are coming. Tra-la, tra-la. Hello again, everybody. Eric here at Wrigley Field. Steve Stone's right next to you. Eric here at Wrigley Field. We move to the bottom of the third. So the Cubs win 10-1 against the Athletics. As I told you, Cap, this would be an easy series for the Chicago Cubs. Watching the game yesterday, you know, in front of, you know, family and friends there at the Coliseum, about 3,000 people there. And I said the only thing that would stop the Cubs from winning this series is if they fall asleep in that horrible, moribund stadium called the Coliseum with the possum in it. And what I really liked is the top of the lineup for the Cubs coming through.
So if you look at their box score from last night, Nico Hoerner, I mean, the guy's off to just a sensational start. Dansby Swanson, delivering. Patrick Wisdom, delivering. The question was, is Cody Bellinger basically just the same guy as Jason Hayward? I think we're finding out no, that he wasn't healthy, his shoulder was bad. He looks to be back to 100%. Five-hit night last night. Five hits.
The ball was a beach ball for the Cubs yesterday.
Holy cow. They're down 1-0. Wisniewski was struggling early with command, and then he got locked in. Locked in, and that offense just kept adding on.
Folks, if you missed it, 10 runs on 20 hits for the Chicago Cubs. It was easy for the Cubs yesterday. And I love Wisniewski. Because, as I told you off the air, is that thing like a nice deep breath between each pitch?
And he closes his eyes. Like,
visualizing.
Fernando Valenzuela used to do that. Remember that?
I like that he does that between each pitch because he gets himself ready. Cap, this should be easy. And so what I got out of this is that, now I can't speak for the rest of the team. I guess you can name a few others, but I believe that I said at the beginning of the season with you that Patrick Wisdom is going to lead the Cubs in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he's going to be an all-star for this team. When we were going around the diamond, Sox versus Cubs, I said I'd take Patrick Wisdom at third as a third baseman over Moncada because at least I could depend on Wisdom to be around. That's the difference. And he might just be an everyday, might be just an average player on other teams. But on this team, I think he could be a catalyst. I know you're ready to look to see what the future brings for the Cubs. I don't know why Wisdom can't be part of it. I think we had that discussion last year.
Yeah.
When the Cubs are good, is Wisdom around? I don't know the answer to that. I like him, but he can play all over the diamond, though. He keeps himself in a position where DH, third base, corner outfield, he can do all those things. First base if you need him.
3-for-5 last night. 2 home runs. 4 RBIs. He scored 2 runs, obviously, on the home runs. Bellinger, 5-for-5. Yan Gomes had a couple of knocks. Madrigal had a hit. The only guy that didn't get a hit in the lineup was Trey Mancini. He's struggling at the plate, hitting 196. The question is, how long do they let Matt Mervis stay down at AAA? He looks like he's the real article. Is that June? Is that May? Is that July? Because the two guys there, Hosmer and Mancini, better get it moving.
Well, when he gets called up, he's got to stay and he's got to play every day.
Correct.
For me. You don't bring a kid up just to sit in.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. How long, he's off to a very good start in AAA. How long do you let Matt Mervis stay down there? How much rope do you give these guys? Because at the start of the year, you're thinking, I picked them 82 wins. They win 82 ball games. Okay, we can take our time.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you look up and you go, whoa, that team might win high 80s. They got a chance to get to the postseason. You're not as patient all of a sudden.
Because those other two guys you just mentioned are just placeholders.
Correct.
Bellinger's a placeholder, let's be honest.
Now, what if Bellinger has a magnificent year?
You sign him. Absolutely. Because now he's back and healthy.
Okay, so here's the question. Where are you playing him?
Oh, that's why God made DH.
Right, because you have Pete Crow Armstrong coming up as your top prospect.
All right, let's not do that now. Mervis, I'm with you. Let's not go PC. What is that, a PTA? What's his name?
PCA.
Huh?
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Parent-Teacher Association.
It was PTO when you were in school, right, Shay?
Paid time off.
Right. It changed. It was PTA when I and you were in school.
That's
and they
exactly
moved
right.
it to PTO.
PTA when I was in school as well.
Really?
Could the Bears afford to trade out of the Jalen Carter sweepstakes at 9? Some thoughts from Tom Thayer in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.